Nothing like the sound of children. Amen? Amen indeed. We are so grateful for them and what God is doing in their lives. And it's really a fun thing to know when you really put your mind to it and give it some thought that God is raising up leaders right now at their age, and that one day some of them will be going on and taking the mantle of just leading the church. And we're thankful for what God is going to be doing. We want to be praying for that too. That's what it means about becoming the church, is sowing seeds so everybody, another generation can reap the harvest too as well. Well, friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. It is so good to be with all of you here today. I am delighted to be up here with all of you. I just want to share a couple of quick announcements with all of you here today. The first being that we have our charge conference later this afternoon at 3 o'clock. And for some of you, you might not know what that is. That's basically a time where we come together and we have our church business, and we'll be sharing some vision at that. We'll be here in the sanctuary too as well. So again, that's at 3 o'clock today, and we want to invite you to come be a part of that if you would like to. Another thing that I think is going to be important for us to know is that, well, we're going to get into the Apostles' Creed. We're back to the Apostles' Creed. We took a little 2-week break from that. So I want you to go ahead and open up your hymnals that are in front of the pews right there and go to 691 in those hymnals. And we're going to read the Apostles' Creed together here this morning. Give you a little bit of time to open it up to that. If you don't have one, I'm glad you memorized it, all right? So let's read this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You know, I always, when we read that, I think sometimes for some people, they get to that part, right, where we're going to be talking about today, really, the church. And you see that, or it says the Holy Catholic Church, and a lot of people, they might not understand and know this, but it's like they think that, they read that, and they're like, wait a second, I didn't know we were at a Catholic church, right? So that's a little C, Catholic, which means universal. It's the Catholicity of the church, which means the church being unified. And the scripture that we have here today comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm not really going to talk a lot about Ephesians 4 today, but I think this is a great scripture that summarizes the church and speaks of that unity. So we're going to put these words on the screen here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 says, As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. All of us, by the way, have been called by Christ to be his hands and feet. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that we can just take time to pause and to give you honor and glory, that we've come to this place as a community to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Lord God, that we know, Lord, that you are moving and doing mighty things and that your Holy Spirit is at work. I pray, Lord, that this day will be a day where our hearts will be open to your movement in this place and in our lives, and to call us out and to give us that opportunity, Lord, to be your hands and your feet. Lord, in Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen, amen and amen. Well, again, friends, when we come into this time, I think it's important as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're called to be believers. If you're, say you're, call yourself a Christian, you're stating that you believe. But we're also called to belong. You will never be a type of believer God wants you to be until you get rooted in a local church and investing yourself into the life and the ministry of the local church. people's experience when it comes to churches these days. They have the kind of the church shopping experience. We do. You'll hear about that. We're church shopping. And for some of it, it's rightfully so. Some people, they move to the community. They're getting familiar with the new community that they're in, so they check out different churches from time to time and see which one really resonates with them. And they hope is they get plugged into. However, there are others that will just do church shopping, and that's all they ever do. Even though they're rooted in the community, they just go from one church to the next church to the next church to the next church. I just want to share something with you, and I think this is very important. Number one, if you're here today and you're church shopping, I'm glad you're here, okay? That's important. It is. It really is important to be able to check that out. But one of the things I will tell you is this, for all of us, if all we ever do is jump around from one church to another, you never put down any roots. And that will prevent you from actually growing in your faith. There are God-honoring, grace-filled churches in almost every community. Find one. Get plugged into one. Invest yourself into that. And us here, if you're here at Aldersgate here today, we are so, again, glad that you're with us, that you're joining us for this time. And we hope that you will put your roots down here. We really do. We pray and hope that you'll sink them down here and let this group of believers walk alongside you and strengthen and challenge your faith, because that's what we're called to do, is to walk alongside one another. I believe that God has great plans for each and every one of us. I really believe that. And your life journey, your success, whether it's successful or you've had failures in your life, all of that really depends on how God can orchestrate and work through, get through to you upon the equipment that you use. Now, here's the deal when it comes to the equipment. God created a piece of equipment for you to use, and it's called the church. And I can tell you that without the church, you will never be what you could be. And the church isn't perfect by any means. It really isn't. It seems like whenever you bring up Jesus, people will have these negative responses, these negative feelings about who God is and about Jesus. But it's usually never connected to Jesus. It's usually connected to the people who claim to be Christians, to be followers of Christ. So what we try to do is we try to figure out ways that we can get people to see Jesus without the blemishes of the church. I have found out with friends that say they know Jesus, but they're just not into going and being the church. They're not into that. They're not into coming around a community of believers and growing with them. And today, my hope and my prayer is that you'll see how much we desperately need to be committed to the church, the body of Christ, just as much as that we are to be committed to Jesus, the bridegroom. And I'm honestly convinced that God wants to do something so significant in our world and in our community. But the reason that we are holding him back is that we are a bunch of individuals who are so focused on going to church that we're forgetting that we need to become a community that becomes the church. And there's a big difference. A few years ago, I think this was about 6, maybe 7 years ago, I did a sermon series called Seven, where we looked at the seven letters and look at the book of Revelation, and we read the seven letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor. It's a fascinating read, and it's a fascinating study when we break it down. But in one of those messages, I talked about the difference between a have to and a get to. Like, the language that we use really creates culture around us. And so often, I mean, I grew up saying, I have to go to church, or I have to go to Sunday school. And when you say I have to, it comes off as an obligation. That's something that you really don't want to do, but you're going to go and do it anyways because you feel like you're obligated and you have to do it. But when you change that language to a get to, it changes your approach on it. And it changes to, I don't really have to do this. I'm willing and wanting to be a part of this. And it changes the mindset. And I encourage us to be able to speak that into our children and to create that culture in them so that they can understand that church worship, being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, isn't an obligation. It is an act, a spiritual act of wanting to respond to what Jesus has done for us. And honestly, That message, we just drove that into all of you, to change the way we talk and to change the way we approach what it means to be the church. And I'll be honest with you, I felt pretty good about it. I felt like, man, that really stuck. I still have people today that will say that to me, like we get to instead of we have to, and I absolutely love that. But the Holy Spirit always is moving and always working, and I remember thinking, you know, I said something in that message that needs to be clarified on, and I need to get more direction on it. And as much as that message was pointing us in the right direction, I felt short with it, and so I want to be clear on it here today. You don't get to go to church. You get to be the church. And I think that's getting dropped a lot in our culture today. We have this unique opportunity and ability to actually be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And what a joy it is to be used by God, to be ministers of His, to be able to expand the good, and to be able to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world, to make Jesus known. And when the church gets it right, it is a fascinating thing to see. It really is. I believe that when the Christian church gets it right, when we show people Jesus, when we let the light of Christ shine, I can tell you that there is nothing more powerful, there is no more powerful force on this planet for God, for good, and for people, for changing lives. So if you are discouraged when you hear the media and you hear the culture, what it says about the church, if you're discouraged about how the church gets things wrong, and there's times that we do get things wrong, let me remind you about something about what the church has done and what it has done right, and what we have today that is because of the church. If you've ever received any type of hospital care, you can thank the church for that. The church created hospitals. The church is responsible for schools and universities, for higher education, for charity, democracy, and human rights. And what's really interesting in the midst of all of this is the notion of tolerance, which seems to be a word that is used now as something to attack the Christian church. But the truth is that it was actually built into this American society by the church so that people could experience the gift of choice that we find throughout the scriptures. And so when it comes to human rights, when it comes to relief work, when it comes to women, when it comes to labor, education, language and literature, arts and music, science, your physical and your spiritual health, all of it, was because the church is the ones that launched it and inspired it and brought it to fruition. And more accurately, it was God who carried it out through His beloved church, His bride. So when the church gets it right, I can tell you that the community is never the same, the world is never the same, and the people that are touched by it are never the same as well. And that reminds us that our God, because He chooses to work through the church, through His people, that our God is a God of relationship, and He's a God of community. And some of you, you're here today, and you're just going through life, and you're trying to go through life on your own. And some have said, as friends of mine have said, like, I love Jesus and all that, but I'm just not into this community involvement of coming together as a community. And you want to know something that we do wrong as individuals? What we do wrong as individuals is, even though we will even gather together like we are today and sit next to each other through a worship service, and even through life for that matter, we'll sit together. But the bigger question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to walk together? We can sit across the table all we want, but are we willing to walk and do life together? And this church, the body, the community of believers, is supposed to not just sit and gather, but to actually have that, but to actually go and walk with one another and live life together and be the hands and feet. We have a mission that God has called us to do. So are we being willing to do that? And I want us to hear that. I want you to hear this morning. The most powerful moments that Christ will do in your life, that He wants to do in and through your life, is to use you to make Jesus known. to use you so that others may come to see Jesus. Because the reality is some of the damage that has been done by the church has been done by many in the church that who have carried the name of Jesus but have not carried his character. And what should we do? Because we love our city, we love our communities, we love how the outreach that we're going to be a part of, but what must we do to help those who are the furthest from God to come and to actually see who God is? And I believe it's our time. I believe it's our time to be the church. I believe it's our time to actually get up out of the pews and go and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. In the other two services, the choir sang a choir anthem called a song. They sang, "Wake up, church, wake up." And what a great reminder it is for the church to get up, wake up, arise, and go forth and be the church. And I get it. Like, I woke up this morning, and my alarm went off at 5, and my daughter came with me to church this morning, and I had to get her up, and we hit the snooze button twice. Because we like that snooze button. And sometimes in the church what happens is we have moments that we arise, we go forth, and all of a sudden we hit the snooze button again. We don't want to be a church that's always hitting the snooze button. We want to get up and go and awake and be alive for Christ. So it's our time to be the church. Some of you here today, you're here at worship, and you're thinking you're all about Jesus on Sundays, but when you go to work, you go to school, you go to wherever you go throughout the rest of the week, and nobody even knows that you and Jesus have ever met. And that's a hard dose of reality. Are we living and reflecting Christ outside the walls of this building? And I think it's time to see that the placement that God has placed you in is an opportunity for you to open the door to Jesus for someone else to walk through. I think that's a beautiful thing that you will be. Some of you don't think that you're going to be doing that, but you are a doorway for someone else to come to know Jesus. Look for those opportunities. They're around us every single day. We live in South Dakota, and South Dakota is home of the mighty Missouri River. There's something about going to the river here in South Dakota that's absolutely fascinating. It divides this state between the sane and the insane. You can argue with your families which side you're on, like how I did that there, right? But we don't have many rivers in South Dakota, so we don't really honestly relate to rivers that much. We know we have it, but in our minds, rivers can somewhat be dangerous. There are undercurrents in them, and the catfish at the bottom are the size of Volkswagen Beetles, right? I've heard that before. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm sure they're pretty big. However, for many, the river has a lot of unknowns in it. And because of that, it can be a little fearful to approach, to be cautious with. But lakes, we have tons of lakes in South Dakota, and we are neighbors to the east in Minnesota. I know we wouldn't claim a lot of things from Minnesota, but if we were to claim anything, they would probably claim two things. We would claim their farmland, and we would claim their lakes, right? They have some beautiful lakes too as well. We have beautiful lakes here. I know some of you have lake homes. Some of you love going to the lake. My family and I, we love going to the lake. We love spending time with friends and family there and seeing the sunsets and the sunrises reflect off the water. There's something beautiful about it, peaceful about it, the tranquility of it all. It's a beautiful thing, and it should be. Lakes are great. And I can't say this for certain, but I would guess that if we were to take a poll and ask ourselves if you would rather be on the lake or the river, I think most people would probably choose the lake. In my opinion, that's just my opinion. But you want to know something? Today, too many churches today have chosen to be a lake and not a river. Again, lakes, they can meet a need. They're incredibly important. And when you think of a lake, it is usually the focal point of a community. And there needs to be an investment into that, right? Like when you think of this building, you can almost think of it like a lake in a sense. Like it's a place to come and to do community with, to gather for worship and to be a part of. That's important, and we have to invest into that. We have to do that. It's a place to be celebrated. But the body of Christ, the church, this is, the building's not the church. We've established that, correct? The building is a place that we, the building is a place that we just gather for worship. This sanctuary is a place we gather for worship. This is not church. You're the church. The body of Christ is not called to be a basin filled with water. You and I are called to be a flowing river, bringing life to everything that you touch. And I'm not making this up either. It's, Jesus speaks of this in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 7, in verse 37, he says this. He says, "Let anyone come to me, anyone who is thirsty, to come to me and drink." That's the invitation, right? The invitation to come. Like, come and drink. Be refreshed by what Christ has to offer. Do you know what he says right after that? He says, "Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." When you accept Christ, rivers of living water will flow from you. We're to be rivers for the kingdom of God, not lakes. You are the living, breathing body of Christ in this world. I can tell you this, Satan is not threatened by lakes. He's not. He's not threatened by religious institutions that meet together just a few times a week and reach out to the community a few times a week, just like any other civic organization does. He's not bothered by that at all. But he's definitely afraid of churches that are rivers. Because churches that are rivers are shaking the gates of hell. And the church today, for many churches today, they get so preoccupied up in these little disputes with one another. Arguments over the styles of worship and the methods of how they go about things. We get so more worked up over the little T traditions that we just want to say, "I like my church just the way it is. Don't change anything at all. Keep it all the same. Don't disrupt my lake." And we'll keep the lake looking good so long as we can stop the mighty river. Because it's safer and more comfortable, and we just know this better. We're more familiar with it. Let me give you really quickly just four reasons, four price tags of playing it safe. And I apologize, I didn't get it to our people in time to put it on the screen, so I'll say them a couple times so you can repeat them. The first one is that playing it safe will limit your impact. Playing it safe will limit your impact. When you play it safe, it will not only limit your impact, but it will also send you down the road of stagnation and unrealized potential. Take some God-honoring risks. And the moment you take off the handcuffs of fear and step and walk by faith and not by sight, you will see that when you trust God to, in the unknown, he will move mountains. He will move mountains for his church. And he's longing for his church to say, "Trust me. Take a step of faith." The second thing is that when you play it safe, your faith shrinks. I challenge you to try to turn to any passage in Scripture where you find in the Bible, where God calls someone to something safe. Where God will call you to a place, anywhere in Scripture, where God will call you to a place that is really comfortable. You won't read about it. Abraham leaves the familiar on all that he knows and took a step of faith when God called him. Moses goes to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Esther puts her life in danger to persuade the king so it would prevent the extermination of the Jewish nation. David takes on a giant. And Joshua, I love Joshua's story. Joshua's story is the one where he's with Moses. He's Moses' second-hand person, right? And when Moses dies, it's going to be Joshua's going to lead him in the promised land. But before they do, when they leave Egypt, Joshua gets to the Israelites get to the promised land. 10 of them were in it. They scout it out. They bring back the report. Oh, it's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. But there's giants there. And Joshua and Caleb say, let's go now. And the other 8 said, no, let's go back to Egypt. Go back to the familiar of what we know. They'd rather live in the slavery of Egypt to be set free in the promised land that God promised with. But Joshua crosses the river. Peter steps into the unknown and gets out of the boat. And Jesus, think he got called to something safe? Jesus goes to the cross and he dies for us. Authentic faith is developed only when we respond to the call of God and take a risk. It's only here when we learn that God can do what we can't do on our own. I'm telling you, if you want to step into the future that God has for you, he will every single time bring you to a place where you will have to face your fears and to let go of what you know and step into what you don't know. Because only in the unknown are you willing to trust God. And he's going to bring you to that place every single time. The third thing is that playing it safe stunts your growth. It prohibits you from growing in spiritually. Christians stop serving because it might not be safe. Did you know that? We'll make up all these reasons why we shouldn't serve. They stop tithing and giving back because they think that it's not safe for them, for their finances. They stop sharing because it might be embarrassing. They stop taking risks because they stop asking God what he wants them to do, and they slowly start to develop an apathetic, safe faith. And what they become is they become lakes. And they don't ever want to leave. They don't ever want to go and do and be the church. They want the church to serve them. Fourth thing is that playing it safe will shrivel your heart. If you're a Christ follower, I can promise you this: Jesus Christ will challenge your faith by asking you to do things that seem impossible. I believe that the Holy Spirit works on our hearts, and he's touching and he's been speaking to you right now. I think for a lot of people, they're thinking, man, I just wish the Lord would speak to me. He is speaking to you. We're just not listening. And some of you, he said, I want you to go on this mission trip. And you literally responded, I don't have time for that. Or maybe it's this, God's asked you, I want you to start tithing. I can't afford that, God. It doesn't fit into my budget. Think about that. Or God says, I want you to talk to this person about me. I want you to show them Jesus. No, Lord, I'm afraid of doing that. I'm not a good speaker. I can't do that. Or how about this one? God says, I want you to forgive that person. Lord, do you know what they did to me? I can't forgive them. Here's the truth. On every single one of those, you might have a fear that says that you can't do it, but God is there to say, I can show you how you can do it through me. Trust in him. Our faith gets tested and stretched only when we respond to Jesus asking us to do something that is bigger than ourselves and it seems impossible to our human logic. And when the church plays it safe, it becomes a lake. But we're called to take steps of faith, to take God-ordained risks, and to just say, Lord, we trust you. Do in me what you see best. Do in us what you seem best. Jesus never said, come and follow me, play it safe, stay in the comfortable. He never called his church to just sit and be stagnant. He called us to be rivers of living water. In Matthew 16, Jesus is instructing his church. It's an awesome passage in Scripture where he asks his disciples, who do you say that I am? And it was Peter that says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Blessed are you, Peter. From this point forward, you'll be called Petros," right? "And on this rock, I will build my church." And then he said something else that's fascinating. He talked about the power that he's going to give to the church. And he said this in verse 19. He says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you understand how much authority he just gave his bride, the church, in that? Whatever you ask of, in his name, for his honor and his glory, he will take care of it, and he will do it, and he will equip you with it. And what I think we need to do as the church is that we need to sow seeds that others can reap a harvest of. That's what being the church really is all about. Did you know that? Is that we sow seeds so other generations can reap a harvest. I mentioned at the beginning, watching those children walk out of here. This church that we're gathered in, this body of believers, this building right here, this place of worship, there were people, it's been here for over 100 years. I want you to think about that. When Aberdeen came into existence, there were people that were praying, saying, "God, use us, here we are, send me." And there were individuals that came here and said, "Hey, we're going to sow seeds here so future generations could reap a harvest." And this church was born. And a community of believers were born. And it spread. And we're reaping part of that harvest. But we don't stop sowing seeds. We continue to do it. And we have to be a church today that is sowing seeds for the next 25 to 50 years, the next generations, to reap a harvest that we may not see. That we might not be able to see today, but the impact it will have on the Church of Jesus Christ in Aberdeen, what it will impact for the next 25, 50, 30, 100 years. Why not? So I guess in closing, we have to ask ourselves, who do you want to be as a church, as a body of believers? Do we want to be a lake church, or do we want to be a river church? As an individual, you have to ask yourself the same question. Do you want to be a lake, or do you want to be a river? And you can start by serving. If you want to know how to be a river, you can start in the easiest of ways that we have simplified. Just getting, saying, "Here I am, send me. Where can I be used at?" When you leave here today, there are literally sign-up sheets out there that we need help in areas in to serve. We have people that are part of our bus ministry that go around, they pick people up, and they bring him here for community worship. We're looking for drivers to help with that. You could be a part of that. That's a simple ass deal to say, here I am, I can help in this area. We have an amazing sound and media team. And those guys work so hard up there and to make this help make us behind the scenes happen on a Sunday morning. We're looking for people to help there too as well. And maybe the Lord's putting that on your heart to do that. Some of you are great at welcoming people. You're a people person, and you have the gift to talk. We want you as one of our greeters. Some of you, we do not want you as our greeters. You're still loved. I'm just kidding. We'll take you too. If you like coffee in the mornings when you come here, we have people that put that out. Like, there are so many things, that might seem like just small stuff, and it is, but it actually has a great impact, because it's inviting community. It's being a part of that, being a Sunday school teacher, helping with the kids, being a part of our worship, all of that is huge stuff. Being hands and feet and going outside and evangelizing and sharing the message, serving those the unfortunate. People to come alongside and say, "Hey, I can talk, and I love visiting with people." We have a CARES ministry team where we have people. We have a big church. Mike and I can't get to all of you. And so it's important that the body comes together and says, "How can we be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ?" To go out and to visit with those that the shut-ins and others in the hospitals. That's what we're a part of, walking alongside one another. There's so many areas to get plugged into, and we'd love to visit with you about that. But when we step out on faith and take God-ordained risks, we become the mighty rivers of His. Now, here's what's crazy. A lake church hears this. Boy, I just realized right now, I feel bad if there's any churches that have lake in their name right now. A lake church hears this and they just move on. They go throughout the motions again. But a river church hears this and says, yes, Lord, let it be done in me. And I hope and pray that that's who we are. Is that we're willing to say, Lord, work in my life. I want to be used by you. I want to be a mighty river for your kingdom and your glory, for your glory. Not for me, but for you. I pray it will be done. I pray it will be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you today, Lord, to gather here as a community of believers to worship you in spirit and in truth. But Lord, we're also thankful, Lord, that we know that your Holy Spirit is going to provide opportunities for us. And Holy Spirit, we know, Lord, that you're going to reveal areas in our lives that will call us to be your hands and feet for Jesus Christ, for the goodness and the glory of God. And I pray, Lord, that this hunger that there is, that you'll create in us a hunger for you to serve you and to serve others, that we can be tired of the religious activity, and we want to go deep with you, Lord. We want our church, Lord, to be a city on a hill and alive in the power of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, may your promises be ever true, that we read in your word, become reality in our lives and in our ministries that we do. Change our world for your glory. Surrender, Lord, we ask, we surrender ourselves fully to your will. May your will be done and not ours. Hold nothing back. Lord, change us, fill us, use us. Take us where we have never been. And Lord, may we respond that we are ready. That we're ready, Lord. Do it today. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.